הנס חיים בן יהודה לב, זכר צדיק לברכה. I want to begin this year by examining the psukim at the beginning of the parsha. The parsha has many, many questions which we will pose after our introduction, after our preamble. But let's begin at the outset. The Torah describes, of course, how Bilam becomes a hired hand. And obviously the interest is that he should curse Klal Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, if you look in the sheet in front of you, Roman numeral number 1, that Bilam is asked and told the following in Pasuk Vav. V'yatar l'cha na'ar ali yasa'am azeh ki yatsum hu mimeni, ula yuchal nakebo v'ab goreshenu min ha'aretz, ki yadati, eis asher tebarech m'ruch v'asher ta'or you are. So now he has the koach ha'bracha and the koach ha'klala in his hands. So Bilam tells the shluchim, wait here, that's in Pasuk Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud, Aleph, and let me ask Hashem Yisbarach what his thinking on the matter is. So Hashem then engages in a conversation with Bilam, and Bilam responds to Hashem, indicating what the interest is, that Klal Yisrael should be cursed. And right away, the response of Hashem is brought in Pasuk Yud Beis, Perech Beis, is very clear. Absolutely forbidden, absolutely interdicted, no way whatsoever that you're going to go and curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam then gets up in the morning, and it would seem that he tells the Suri Moab in Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Lechu al atzachem, go home, ki mein Hashem v'siti la'aloch imachem." Bilam does not engage in any kind of debate. He tells the Suri Balak, Hashem is not interested that I should carry out your mission. It would seem that Bilam is devoted to Hashem Yisbarach. Balak, however, is not going to simply be satisfied. And the Torah goes on to describe in Psukim Tezvav, Tezayin, Yudzayin, Yudches, Yutes, another attempt on the part of Balak to send shlichim, additional shlichim to Bilam. Why does he do that? Apparently because Bilam's response was not of an absolute nature. He didn't tell Balak that he's not going to curse Klal Yisrael. Hashem told him, Lo seilech imahem, lo sa'or esam ki baruchu. And what did Bilam say? I want to be vidayik in the psukim. He said, Ki me'ein Hashem l'siti la'aloch imachem. Bilam told the Sari Balak, Hashem does not permit me to accompany you. But he didn't say that Hashem prohibited him from cursing Klal Yisrael. And for that reason, Balak is not aware that Bilam does not have permission to curse Klal Yisrael. And he assumed that the reason why Bilam refused his offer, because perhaps it was not sufficiently substantive. And therefore, now the Torah goes on and describes the second attempt on the part of Balak to convince Bilam. And right away, the Pasuk says, Tezvav, Perech Beis, Vayosef od Balak shloch sarim rabim nechvadim elu. Perhaps he needs more covered, Bilam. And the shlichim actually come, and what do they suggest? They suggest to Bilam, in Pasuk Yudzayin, Ki chabei nechadit chamaod. Let's go to give you more covered. And Bilam's response, even though there was a second effort on the part of the Shulchan of Balak to convince him, Bilam then says in Pasuk Yitches, "Im yitkeli Balak v'lo beisol kesev v'zov lo'ucha lavras v'yashem alokoi la'asos k'tano avdolam." Notice again, Bilam does not tell the Shulchan what Hashem Yisbarach told him very clearly. Namely, Lo seilech imayim, lo sor esam ki baruchu. But rather, Bilam indicates, I cannot violate the Pi Hashem. But it's clear at this point that he's not ready to join with Hashem Yisbarach entirely in terms of not cursing Klal Yisrael. This is the simple reading of the Psukim when we see the Pshuta Shel Mikra. A bit later, if you look in Perek Chavdalit, Pasuk Yud Gimel, towards the end of the parsha, which is on page number 3 of this handout, the Shulchan of Balak again come to Bilam, and here the Torah says, "Bayonekom Balak, halogamu malachecha sheshalachti elai dibarti lemor." Niteni Balak v'lo beisol kesef v'zov lauchal la'avar sti Hashem v'asos tovu arav milibi asher yidaber Hashem osu adaber. Language which is very similar to that which we just saw, but Perek Chavdalid comes upon the heels of three efforts, or rather, I should say, three different utterances on the part of Bilam, where he gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael. Number one, number two, and number three. If you look in the, starting from Perek of Gimel, throughout Perek of Gimel, you have these three brachas that are given to Klal Yisrael, and that's exactly what Balak is responding to in Perek of Dalet, Sukkim Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Balak is frustrated, and he says, I called you to curse Klal Yisrael, v'nei berachta barev, zeh shalosh pamim. And as a result, essentially, he sends Bilam off, and then Bilam tells Balak, I told you a while ago, even if you ply me with gold and silver, lo ucha labra sti Hashem elokoi lasos tovu arua milibi, ashe daber Hashem oso adaber. So it would seem that, in effect, here, Bilam is, in some respects, correcting the misimpression. The issue is not kesef, the issue is not covered. I am kafuf to Hashem Yisbarach. However, there's no question that Bilam has never really reconciled himself with the will of Hashem Yisbarach. Yes, Bilam twice indicates I cannot violate the Dvar Hashem. However, he does not at all indicate that he's not capable and Hashem will not permit him to curse Klal Yisrael. And that's why there's always this residual kind of thinking on the part of Balak and company that maybe he'll still be able to curse Klal Yisrael. In Perek Beis, as I mentioned, when Bilam asks Hashem, can I curse Klal Yisrael? Hashem has told him very clearly and emphatically, unequivocally, and at that point, before she say, that's when Bilam should have told Balak, listen, I cannot carry out your mission. And had Bilam absorbed the Dvar Hashem, the way it was presented to him, that you cannot curse Klal Yisrael, the matter would have ended at that point in time. And therefore, Mefarshim feel that ineluctably, the maskara that one has to come to is that Bilam clearly was trying to find a way where he's going to be able to somehow curse Klal Yisrael and simultaneously Ke'ilu carry out the Dvar Hashem. And that explains why the Tzukim are also incredibly striking, and this is what I would like to talk about now. But the thesis that I'm beginning with is one that it's suggested by many Mefarshim that after Hashem told Bilam that under no circumstances can you curse Klal Yisrael, so then the Torah, in its presentation of the Psukim, the Torah tells us, so now, the second time around, Bilam is told by Hashem Yisbarach to accompany the Shulchan of Balak, and then the Pasuk says, in that context, we'll read the Psukim inside. In Perek of Days, we read Psukim Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Yud Beis. Yud Beis indicated that Bilam was not permitted to curse Klal Yisrael. And then, once again, there's an attempt to convince him to change his mind. He indicates all the money in the world and all the cover will not have any impact on me. But let me speak to Hashem Yisbarach again. And this is in Perachah Beis, Pasuk Yitesh and Chaf. Now Hashem seemingly tells Bilam, go with them, however, with one proviso. So Bilam then accompanies the Sari Moav, and then the Pasuk says strikingly, so all the Mefarshim asked an obvious question. Why should Hashem Yisbarach be angry? He told them a moment ago, accompany them with the proviso that I will tell you what to say. And yet the Pasuk says, v'yicha'af Elokim ki yolechu, and that's when the Torah describes the dramatic story of the Malach Hashem and the Satan. The question is, why should Hashem be angry at Bilam? A kasha that's asked by all the Rishonim, and preeminently among the Rishonim, the Abba Benel poses this question. He only went because Hashem instructed him to go. So why was the Malach coming to block his way, as it were? So, again, just to summarize what I said till now, Bilam does not do anything without consultation with Hashem Yisbarach. However, even when Hashem Yisbarach tells him, does not find favor in his eyes, he is an Akshon. He continues on his very way because his hidden intention was to curse Klal Yisrael. In the second time where Bilam is told, Lechim Anoshim, why did Hashem simply tell Bilam, go home, go back home? There's no way you're going to accomplish the mission. Hashem does not do that. Did Chas v'Shalom Hashem change his mind? So from the hemshech of the story, it's clear that Hashem did not change his mind. Hashem never gave permission for Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. So why is Hashem ke'ilu fooling Bilam and telling him to go when really he does not want him to go? So the Ibn Ezra, Perchav Beis, Pasuk Yitesh, asked his kasha. The Ibn Ezra said that since Bilam was an Akshon and decided to go with Sari Moav and Sari Balak, so then once again he asked the question, but the Haskamah that Hashem gave him was a Haskamah that came not by Ratzon. So when Bilam goes ahead and goes to the Sari Moav right away, Vayichaf Hashem ki holechu. Rabban is not happy with this Ibn Ezra that Hashem should somehow change his mind. But Hashem did not change his mind. Initially, Hashem said very clearly and unequivocally, as he pointed out, Lo Selech Imayem, Lo Soris Ha'om Ki Baruch Hu. And then, when Hashem subsequently indicates, Kum Lechitam, but not that you're going to do as you so desire. So why would Hashem want Bilam to go ahead, which seems to be not in sync with the original statement of Lo Selech Imayem, Lo Soris Ha'om Ki Baruch Hu? So you'll notice that the first time Hashem tells Bilam, Lo say lechimayim, lo sar esam, ki baruchu. The second time, kum lechitam, but the aches adam rashadam reindech also sase. Hashem may have undone the tzav that he should not accompany Sari Balak, but as far as lo sar esam, not cursing Klal Yisrael, that certainly remains extant. That certainly is very much right in front of us. So had Bilam really listened to the Dvar Hashem, had he really wanted to know what the Ratzon Hashem was, so then he would have put two and two together. He would have connected all the dots. Namely, Lo Sar Esam, and Adam Hashadam Reilecha Oso Saste. Hashem does not put the two together. And that's why he's given some sort of a choice, if you will, how to understand the Ratzon Hashem, to understand it the way Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu really was desirous of, or Kol HaRotzeh Litzos Yavo V'Yitzes, Chazal say, whoever wants to err and thinks that he's going to curse Klal Yisrael, that's what he's going to do. And this essentially is the main issue that is really at stake over here. Namely, Bilam, even though the Ribono Shel Olam appears to him, and the Malach doesn't really attempt to stop Bilam, the Malach is simply presenting to him the Ratzon Hashem, and essentially what he's being told is that HaBrochos VaKlolos Einan Nesunos B'Yadecha, everything is B'Yad Hashem. So Bilam should have understood that his desire to curse Klal Yisrael, even though it was never expressed openly, everything he did was clandestine, was with stealth, was done furtively, but that was in direct opposition to the Ratzon of Hashem. And at the end of the day, what comes to fruition? The Ratzon Hashem comes to fruition and nothing else. So this little preamble will now lead us to a series of questions that are raised by many, many Mefarshim. We'll start with Perech Avdalud Pasig Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, the end of the Parsha, Sukkot that we read a few moments ago. Balak is very angry. After the three brachas that Bilam gives Klal Yisrael, three separate utterances, so Balak indicates his lack of derech eretz of Bilam. Here I called you, I summoned you to curse Klal Yisrael, the Yimei Berach de Barech Zeh Shalosh Pamim, Vata Brach Lecha Lekomecha. Amarti Kaber Achabetcha B'nei Menachah Hashem Yikavod. And that's what Bilam tells Balak, Halo Gamma Malachecha Shalasa Yilai Dibati Lemor. I told you, you can fly me with gold and silver and all the covet in the world, it's meaningless. So now let's present a series of questions asked by Mefarshim. Number one, a question that we referred to a few moments ago. Why is once again Bala getting angry at Bilam? What's the charonas? Well, we saw earlier, before the three times that Bilam blessed Klal Yisrael, again in Perech Habeis, Pasuk Lamaches, Vayomer Bilam el Balak, Nebasi Evecha, Ata Hayochel Ucha Adaber Meuma, Hadavar Sheyasim Elokim Befi Yosa Adaber. So Bilam, in effect, clearly indicated what his mandate was, namely what Hashem is going to put in his mouth. So why suddenly is there such anger by Ichab Boa Gabilam in Perech Abdali? And he tells him, Brach Lecha, go home. And Bilam says to him once again, Lo Yuchal Avra Pi Hashem. What's the whole discussion here between Boa and Bilam? Doesn't make any sense. It's almost irrational, the discussion. It's a broken tape recorder. That's question number one. The Chafetz Chaim in his Perash al Torah poses another very fascinating question. It's a famous comment of Chazal. It's a Sifra in the beginning of Vayikra. We know that the Parshas in Chumash are divided into Psuchos and Stumos, Chayadua. Why are these divisions significant? Why are they important? So Chazal say, Mahayu Hasokos Mishamshos, Litin Rebach Lemoshe, Lizbonin bin Pasha la Pasha bin Inyan la Inyan. To give Moshe time after Pasha is articulated, Moshe has to think, has to ruminate, has to examine that Pasha, and Moshe is able to have some breathing room between one Inyan and another Inyan. If you take a look carefully in Pasha's Balak, you will see there's not one hafsaka. There's no intermissions in the Pasha of Balak. It's one long continuum. Nothing which is not of an Indian and Indian. It's all one long Pasha. What about Rebach, with his bone in bin Pasha the Pasha? Why is there no opportunity for that kind of breathing room? And we're talking about a considerably lengthy Pasha that consists of many segments, and yet it's one Hemshech without any half suckers whatsoever. So I heard from a number of my rabbeim, including Arav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and a good segment of this is also found in the Sefer Avi Ezri by Hagaon Rav Shach, the Chatzag, the Bracha, the Shiva Panovich. And in reality, it all goes back to Rav Chaim Brisker. He's the source of all this. There's a famous Gemara in Bava Basra. The famous Gemara Bava Basra that Yudal on the days. But the Gemara describes there the authorship of different Svarim in Tanakh. So the Gemara comments, Moshe Kasaf Sifro Upashas Bilam V'Iyov. Very well-known Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his sefer, namely Chamishchum Shetora, and he also wrote Pashas Bilam V'Iyov. What a strange statement. Pashas Bilam is part of the Torah. Why would the Gemara delineate Pashas Bilam as a separate item? Comments Rashi, and I'll read the language of Rashi, and Daf Yudal on the days of Abbasra, Upashas Bilam, Nivu Oso, Umishalav, the Nevuah Bilam, and the Mishalav that Bilam gave, Abba Mishayin on Tzarchi Moshe, Vitarasa, Vesede Masa. Even though offhand, says Rashi, there's no connection between those Divrei Nevuah of Bilam and specific Tzarchim of Moshe Rabbeinu, nor is there a connection to the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu or the Seder Hamasim of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we are astounded by this Rashi, because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is responsible for Kol HaTorah Kula, and how in heaven's name could somehow Pashas Bilam be viewed as a separate entity? Kilu Chas V'Shalom, it's not part of Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. We know the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that even Ois Achas, if a person somehow assumes that Ois Achas was not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, he's considered to be the Geder of an Apikoros. And the Rambam writes that the Kedusha of Aseres HaDibros is the same as Olam Sukim, Terach, Gacham, Macho. So this is a bit of a parallel. What is the intent of Rashi in coming on this Gemara, indicating somehow that Bilam is somehow to be treated separately from Kol HaTorah Kula? And this is question number two, which is part of really the same question of the Chafetz Chaim. Why are there no hafsokos? Why are there no hafdolos between one inyan and the second inyan in the parsha of Balak? When there's no time given to Moshe Rabbeinu lehisbeinin, then parsha the parsha. Or to give revach ben advekin. Question number three. This is also the question that many are bothered by, and it's a very telling, penetrating question. Chazal tell us that Sifrei Zosar Bracha, V'lokom Novi Od B'Yisrael Kemoshe, and Rashi indicates this as well, B'Yisrael Lokom, that there was no Novi of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikri Adas of the Rambam. There are two Ikri Adas. One is that Hakel Menabi is Bnei HaAdam. There's a concept called Nevuah prophecy. And the second concept is that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was sweet, generous. Moshe Rabbeinu is Miyuchad B'Mino. His Nevuah is of a nature that no one could possibly come near the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Chazal tell us, B'Uma Sa'ovam came come. There was someone parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of Nebuah, and who's that? Bilam ben Baor. And this statement seems to be almost preposterous in many, many respects. Chazal tell us, and this is cited by the Rambam, cited by many Rishonim, all the distinctions between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam. I'll just cite for you a few that are quoted by a Sifrei Zuta at the end of Pashas Noso. It says, Sholosh midos hayabo biyad Moshe, mashallah hayab biyad Bilam. Moshe hayab medabi ima ome. Moshe Rabbeinu was completely standing when Hashem spoke with him, shenema biyapa po amodi modi. Moshe Rabbeinu was in full control of his faculties. Bilam, lahayab medabi ima nofel, shenema nofel agluye noyim. Bilam was completely out of control. Secondly, Moshe hayab medabi ima, Moshe spoke to Hashem, pel peh. Pasuk at the end of Baal Yitzcha. It was a ponim el ponim kind of encounter. Pe'al pe'al dabebo ma'arul avachidos. And Bilam did not have that direct encounter with Hashem Yisbarach. The pasuk says, "Neum shomea imrei tel." He was lichora not different than Shah Nevi'im, who are considerably less than Moshe Rabbeinu. Thirdly, the Sifrei writes, Hashem spoke to Moshe a direct kind of dialogue. Bilam, Hashem spoke to him, Kim b'mishalim, v'yisa mishalim, v'yomah. Again, mishalim is something which is characteristic of Shah Nevi'im. So here we have a clear statement that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is of a markedly different nation than the Nevuah of Bilam. And this is found in many, many statements in Chazal. There's a Medrash Rabba by Yikra. The Medrash Rabba writes that, Ma bein Nevi'a Yisrael and Nevi'a Uma Sa'olam, En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nigla Al Uma Sa'olam Ela B'chatzi Dibur. The Pasuk says, Vayikor Elokim El Bilam, Derech Mikre, Hashem appears to Bilam. But the Nevi'a Yisrael, such as Lahabdil Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra El Moshe, not Lashon Vayikar, happenstance, Nikra, but Vayikra El Moshe. So what does Chazal mean when they say, Lokum be Yisrael ke Moshe Og, be Yisrael Lokum, Abu Buma Sa'elam can come? How is that possible? How can we contrast the Nevuah Bilam, Harasha, to the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu? Even Rashi already comments in the context of Vayikar. So Rashi writes, Lashon Arai, Lashon Tuma, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nishnabe Mitzarak Dusha. What is the nature of this statement of Chazal that sounds like Chazal are equating the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu with the Nevuah Bilam? So these questions were posed even before Rav Chaim Briska by Rabbi Shulei Diskin, the Rav of Brisk, who later moved to Yerushalayim, almost the forerunner of Agoyim Rav Chaim Briska. And the Briskas are very fond of the Maril Diskin, and he has in his Chuvas, in the second chelek of the Shut Maril Diskin, a discussion of the nature of the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to the Nevuah of Bilam HaRasha. I would like to just share with you a bit of his language as well. He writes that obviously a Navi is someone who receives a Shefa from on high, and that Shefa has to be interpreted and articulated by each Navi individually. We know that Chazal tell us that Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnagdim Misignon Echad, each Navi has his own signon, has his own style. Different Nevi'im obviously have different levels of Nevuah, but his mashal that the Maril Diskin gives is really very beautiful. He writes, Harezev Dome Lemabit Bishkuchis. He compares the Nevuah to a ray of light that goes through a pane of glass. Ima Shkuchit Sua Yarok Adam Tzahov Chelet. If I have a ray of light that shines on a green pane of glass, it will appear green on the other side. If it shines on a blue pane of glass, it will appear blue on the other side. Says the Maril Diskin of Asholeid, that's exactly what happens with each Navi. Kol shenapsho zako behira, the greater the madrega, the greater the spiritual level of the Navi, the clearer his vision. If he's of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, so we know, Pe'al Pe'a Dabebo, Umar Velo Bechidos, Usmunat Hashem Yabit, Moshe Rabbeinu has a total clear vision. Hashem doesn't speak to him in riddles. Aspaklaya Hami'ira. And Moshe Rabbeinu, his vision is completely clear. No occlusion whatsoever. And that's what he writes, Maril Diskin. Such a Navi, Roe HaPitaron Tzach U'Metzuchtzach. V'zeo Sh'omer B'Moshe Rabbeinu V'Vashalom She'naf Sh'hoitzo V'Eitzim Hamayla. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level of a Navi. The clarity of his vision is impeccable. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the ray of light, is going through a, not a colored piece of glass, but a regular glass, and it emerges on the other side with absolute clarity, unlike other Nevi'im. The Alpha became Cholila, Gam Shan Nevi'im, on this Nabu Shechachas HaShalom. Doesn't mean that other Nevi'im, God forbid, were engaged in false prophecy, because the Gemara says that a Chaloim is Zechem Mishishim in Nevu'ah, but the Maril Diskin says, the Chaloim Bo Barov Inyan, Umat Emes Mu'urav, and he goes through a number of Mamoy Chazal, and he as well indicates that we know, and he actually uses this as an analogy. The Gemara says in Yuma, and I find Gimel, Gzeiras Novi Chazeres, Urim Betumim Enech Chazeres. The decree of Urim Betumim cannot be retracted. The Gemara learns that from Pesukim. The Mishpat Ha'urim with Hashem. Kol Damer Sheyatzam Piyakadosh Baruch Hu Befurash Ein Chozer. However, with reference to a Navi, and here we're talking about Seichel Anoshi, so it's possible that the decree of a Navi can be retracted. It will not come to fruition. It won't materialize. Ma'ashenkin Burim B'Tumim, that the Gemara says, Urim Shemirim Es Dibreyim, Tumim Shemashlim Es Dibreyim. The words of Hashem are going to be fulfilled if they emerge through the Urim Tumim, unquestionably. It cannot be Batel. So he goes on, after he makes this distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and Shan Nevi'im include, of course, the Avos, so Avoseinu HaKadoshim, Avon Yitzchak Yaakov. They were not of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Zocher, Taspaklal Yameira. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was absolutely clear from every perspective. And Moshe Rabbeinu recorded the word Bereishis. That's what Hashem instructed him to do, and the same is true for every single word in the Torah. So other Nevi'im don't have that kind of clarity. However, there's one exception, says the Maril Diskin. Who's the exception? Bilam. Bilam HaRasha. In that area, Bilam is in the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. The nevuah that Bilam received is also clear and precise. Vayosin Hashem Dover b'fi Bilam b'yomer. Go back to Balak b'kol tzedaber. Now, of course, the reason for Bilam meriting such nevuah is really the polar opposite of what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Using the example of Maril Diskin of the light shining through the pane of glass, Moshe is compared to clear glass. Whatever Hashem tells him is precisely what Klal Yisrael will be told. There are no riddles told to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael should not accuse him of misinterpreting the mashal, misinterpreting the riddle. And Bilam, in this respect, said the Maril Diskin, and Hagoyim Rav Shach, and Hagoyim Rav Chaim Briska, and many others, also received his nevuah word for word. The difference between Moshe and Bilam is that whereas Moshe can be compared to a totally clear pane of glass, Bilam can be compared to a pane of glass that's completely black. If Bilam were spoken to in riddles, no bracha would have emanated from him, because he would not have interpreted any of the visions that he had for the good of Klal Yisrael. He has to be on the level of Bilam, has to be told what to say. Matovu alecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. The Chazal said, the Gemara says that, Vayyafu Hashem Elokecha lecha esaklovu libracha, ki aheimcha Hashem Elokecha. All of Bilam's brachas were eventually transformed into curses, with the exception of Bati Kinesios, Bati Bidrashos, and that pasuk in Dvarim that I just mentioned. Vayafor Hashem Elokecha lecha etzaklola loshin yochid ki aheimcha Hashem Elokecha. So, in this respect, Bilam is comparable to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a chiddush gadol that the Maril Diskin suggests, but of course, it doesn't really mean that he was on par with Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, obviously, he did possess some degree of greatness, the haraya, what the pasuk says, yodea batelyo, where the Gemara has in Brachos, the Gemara has difficulty in Sanhedrin, Kufay, how is it possible? He's yodea batelyo, he doesn't even know what the osel is thinking, what his donkey is thinking about. And yet, he knows the mind of Hashem is Barah. And the Gemara describes at great length the machlokes he had with the donkey, and obviously the donkey was menatzeach Bilam. That's why the donkey had to be got rid of, Mishum Kavod Abrius. Despite his shortcomings, somehow he had Das Elyon. He knew exactly when Hashem was angry. He planned to curse Klal Yisrael precisely at that moment. And he had major secrets that were revealed to him. The ultimate Geula comes from Bilam. Darach Koichem Yaakov, become shaved of the Yisrael, v'chulu v'chulu. But at the end, of course, he was killed in the war against Midian. He has no chelk in Elam Haba. And in Sefer Yeshua, he's called a Kaysein. So initially, he may have been a Navi, but ultimately, he became a Kaysein. He lost all of his Kaychas of Nevuah, and it had no influence on him whatsoever. The Chalzo, this is the Chiddush of Rabbi Shua Leib of the Maril Diskin in the second Chelek of the Shalom Shuvis Maril Diskin. But then he adds something. I just want to summarize what he said. And this really was amplified by Rabbi Chaim Briska. Kol HaTorah Kula is called Teres Moshe. Even though there are nevuas in Chumash that were told to others, told to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but how did those segments of the Torah become Torah? The answer is by virtue of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the matik, the way the Ramban writes in his Akdama, beginning of Bereishis, Moshe Rabbeinu is described, who takes dictation from Hashem Yisbarach, and as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's Aspaklaya Meira, all those Tashios, Noach and Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov become part of the Torah. As a result of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shem Torah is Chal on them. Says of Chaim Briska, that does not apply to Nevuah's Bilam. The Nevuah that Bilam was Menabe on Klal Yisrael became Torah without Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an astounding statement. That's what he writes. That's what they say over the name of Chaim Briska. Unlike the rest of the Torah, somehow Bilam had this indigenous kind of ability, and as a result, Rashi and Barbasa, Dafi Dalam of Beis, when the Gemara says that Moshe Kosav Sifro, who Pasha's Bilam, and Rashi comments because Pasha's Bilam is not Tzokhe Moshe Rabbeinu, not Seir Demasov, Moshe did not confer upon the Pasha Bilam the Shem Torah. Moshe Kosav Sivu or Pasha Bilam, in effect, he was simply a matik regarding Pasha Bilam, and that's apparently what the Sifrei means as well. Lo kom b'yisrael k'moshe oid, but b'umos oilem can come. In what sense? Certainly, mitzad nevuah, you cannot possibly compare the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu to that of Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu is in a league by himself, and as I mentioned earlier from the Sifrei Zuta, Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nebuah emanates from Kedusha. The Nebuah of Bilam emanates from Gnai, from Tumah. But regarding one prat, there's a common denominator. Both of them had the ability to confer a Shem Torah, a Chal Shem Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu on the entire Torah, and Bilam on the Pasha of Bilam. That's what Bilam had the capacity to do. And Bilam, when the Medrash says, come to Moshe only in this prat. And if that's the case, we'll be in the Yashiv, the questions that we asked earlier as well. The Chafetz Chaim's Kasha, why is there no Hafsoka? Why is there no Havdolos, Ben Inyan LeInyan, in the Parasha of Bilam? Normally Moshe Rabbeinu is given time with his Benin, Revach Ben Advekim, to have a deeper, more comprehensive understanding of each Nevuah. So that applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, with the exception of the Parasha Bilam, which is somehow Moshe Rabbeinu operates here differently. He didn't confer upon the Pasha of Bilam the Chavos Shem Torah, and therefore there's no need for Hafsaka, Litein Revach, the Moshe Rabbeinu, is binding the Pasha of Pasha. It's not necessary for that, his blindness to take place in the context of the Pasha and Bilam. So now, what was the Shaka Vitalia, we asked, between Bilam and Balak in Perach of Dalit, when earlier on, Bilam made his position very clear. So the answer is based on what we said in the preamble, namely, the Tos of Balak was, Balak thought that Bilam is to be equated with all the Nevi'im. Bilam had the same status, even as Moshe Rabbeinu. If I give him a lot of covet, I ply him with gold and silver, and being that the Medrash and Chazal describe Bilam as having nefesh rechava, so I can be mishachid him, I can go ahead and bribe him, and he'll see what has to be seen. But the fact that Bilam three times went ahead and gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael, so that's an indication Balak realized that obviously it's not going to happen what I would like him to do, and he became furious. And that's when Bilam answered, Baruch Alav Rasti Hashem, namely, Asher Yedaber Hashem, Oso Adaber. With all the koach that I'm given, unfortunately, I don't have that capacity to curse Klal Yisrael. It's what I wanted to do, clandestinely, furtively, stealthily. I never admitted to Balak and his messengers that Hashem did not want me to curse Klal Yisrael. I did not acknowledge that. And so essentially, we see many, many distinctions between the Nevuah Moshe and Shan Nevi'im, and between the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam HaRasha, and only in one respect does Bilam have what the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Moshe Kasa Sifro, Upashas Bilam. And the Bavli Musar talk a lot about, for Bilam, the Torah is clearly a tremendous source of knowledge. Bilam really, as we know, was also a conflicted person. Bilam says, Tavos Nafshi Mosi Shorin Usi Achrisi Kamo. He wanted to die the death of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who I called Yishorin. But he didn't want to live like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That the Torah should be a guide for life, he had no interest in that. And the Yisod Avraham, of course, Kayadua, is that someone who observes the dictates of the Torah, that should bring about not only an improvement in our lives, but also to completely transform our character, our entire personalities. If someone is not affected by the Torah that one learns, it doesn't change one's midos, one remains the same tamei, one unfortunately behaves with the same gnai, then the Torah is simply a body of wisdom which is used for intellectual acuity, but has no impact on my own character and personality. I heard once from he said that someone posted a sign saying that you shouldn't steal. So of course the question was, why do we need a sign? It's a pasuk in Chumash. And the Torah says, Leisig Novu. And in Hasina is very clear that we were told not to steal. So he said over to Magoyin of Shomu Zalman Oyev HaZatzal that even in the situations where the halacha precisely would permit me to steal from a goy, you shouldn't do so. Stealing, even when it's permissible, technically, is an action that undoes and negates one's very neshama. Means when a person examines behavior that he should or should not do, the question is not only technically whether it's permissible api halacha or not. Is it good for my character? Stealing from a goy, even when assuming it may be permissible, is something which is absolutely unconscionable. And there's a very well-known smad who offers an additional reason why one should not chas v'sholom steal from a goy, because the Navi in Yechezkel, in Perek Lamed Vav, the Navi tells us that the ultimate geula is going to be a great source of Kiddush Hashem. If you examine the Pesukim in Yecheskel, in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, so Yecheskel HaNavi says the following, V'kidashti eshmi ha-gadol ha-mechulol ba-goyim asher chilalte besochem v'yodu ha-goyim ki ani Hashem nu'm Hashem Elokim v'yikot shivachem le'ineyem. That ultimately Hashem is going to bring us out of Golos and back down to Israel. We were punished by being exiled, and Hashem is going to return us. Why? Because Klal Yisrael being in Chutzaretz, Ein Lecha Chilul Hashem, Gadol Mizeh, says the Navi. That's the greatest Chilul Hashem for Klal Yisrael to be in exile. So the redemption is going to take place, but if we are perceived as individuals who steal or engage in other kinds of such behavior, then what will the Goyim say? That Hashem redeemed the nation of people who are Ganovim. And instead of the Geula being a Kiddush Hashem, it will be a source of Chilul Hashem. And the same thing applies as well to deceiving Goyim, engaging in all kinds of deceit, which the Rambam writes, undoes the Nefesh Adam. And of course, it's a slippery slope. A person is megal to steal here, and before you know it, you're stealing elsewhere, and it goes Midechi al Dechi. The Navi says in Micha, which is the Haftarah of this week, Zechorna mayat balach melach moav, ume'ona oso bilo bin ba'or, me'nashkiti melach gilgol, ma'adat tzidkos Hashem. And the Navi says, how shall I approach Hashem Yisbarach? Shall I approach him with karbanos? Is Hashem going to be appeased by all the thousands of rams or thousands of streams of oil? What does Hashem want from us? Ki masos mishpat v'avas chesed v'atzne avach ha'asim alok techa. So Mepharshim asks, what's the connection between these psukim? What's the juxtaposition between the description of what Balak and Bilam did and then telling us about karbanos? And at the end, telling us what our character should be like. So Mepharshim explained that the Navi begins by telling us we should hear about all the schemes of Balak. What did he want him to do? He wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. He wanted Bilam to curse us. And what did Bilam answer? Which, in fact, was that which Balak, B'nei b'zeh shiva mizbechos, in order for Balak to succeed in attaining his goal, we have to bring a lot of karbanos. But that's not the way, obviously, to recognize the righteousness of Hashem Yisbarach. And there were many attempts on the part of Bilam to build his bechos and the like. Hashem is not looking for any of this. What does Hashem want? Avas mishpat. And of course, Bilam is the very antithesis of all of this. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Ayin Ra, he is someone who's Mali Gaiva, Nefesh Rechava. The Navi is telling us, essentially, what the ultimate that Hashem Yisbarach wants. Namely, the ultimate, of course, is development of our character. And that is something which, of course, requires enormous amount of self-discipline. And Chazal, when they say, Derech Eretz Kabbalah the Torah, we know that it's a prerequisite for receiving the Torah. The Torah has to refine our character. The Torah has to better us. The character of the Jew is shaped by Limud HaTorah, by Shmiras HaMitzvot. And even though one should dress in a certain kind of way, as I mentioned many times, I heard this from the Mankal of my yeshiva. He said it half jokingly and half seriously. Lo akova koveya, v'lo ameil mo'il, v'afil letayish yech zakad. Often dress does not necessarily mean that a person has internalized, that a person's pneumius has absorbed, the values that one should absorb. Often there are chitzonius, external trappings, without really revealing refinement of character. And so this is the ultimate goal that we all have to somehow be cognizant of. Alavai Hashem Yisbarach should give us the keches hanefesh to develop all the beautiful character traits that characterize Avraham Avinu le'umat, the antithesis, of course, of Bilam HaRasha, as the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Ma ben Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, the Talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. And if we develop and hopefully Yitz Hashem nurture the qualities of Avraham Avinu, will be zeche to be neichel not only chaye olam haba, but chaye olam haseh as well. Halavai Hashem should give us the ability to do so, and all of us should be zeche to netzach netzach. Shikach. Thank you very much.
Quick question.
Why was Bilam called Bilam? Bili'am.
Is that your old Russia? Rav Daniel?
I don't know, but it occurred to me that that's the
Bilam, Bili'am, unquestionably, but it could be that he was operating on his own. It's interesting, the term Am is the term that Rav Soloveitchik noted was first used by Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Hinei Am b'nei Yisrael, Rav Otsu Mimeno. The term Am means in. The going point is staff, the middle of the going. Am means we're together. Am Yisrael, of course, is cohesive. We are unified, hopefully. And maybe you are correct that Bilam was Bilay Am. He was operating on his own. He had no constituency. The term Am is also found in the Chilta writes that the term Am is used in the Torah, actually, not always in a positive context. The term Am, says the Chilta, often is found in a pejorative kind of context. But I think what you're saying is a correct statement, that Bilam literally was operating on his own. He was, I would call him someone who could be hired by plying him with gold and silver, Nefesh Rechava. He goes on his own merry way. You can sell everything. Sell all your values for a pot of gold. So perhaps the drasha that you are delivering is the correct drasha. He's on his own, but we, Baruch Hashem, are part of Am Yisrael. And as we know that we have certain tchunos that characterize us, Rachmanim, Baishan, and Gomel Chassan, that's really what keeps us together. And that's really what Megillah Sus is all about. Those qualities of Ima Anoki Betzara, especially, is Maneinu Anu, given the Corona Kufa that we're in. We have to somehow be mechazik each other as much as we can and support each other and show the kind of chesed that really is what Am Yisrael ultimately is all about.
Okay,
just a quick question in terms of what the Rav was saying earlier of Bilam being a Yodea Das Elyon. I mean, that seems to be it was a total, you know, gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in contrast to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was an Anav, who was deserving of the Nevuah. Is there anything that Bilam represented or who he was that was deserving and explains why he was chosen to be the Navi of the Umos Olam? Or was it just HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose someone and he chose Bilam?
I would venture to say the latter statement is correct. That's also the mashmaos actually of Rashi. If you just read the Rashi that indicates why HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt constrained somehow to give the Umos Olam Navi. And the answer is because otherwise they would come with tightness against Klal Yisrael, and they would say, as the Hebrew expression goes, lo fair, that you put us in an impossible situation. We don't have anyone who can help us. The Lashon of the Rashi would seem to support this latter thesis of yours. Rashi writes, Nidnei ma. He was a Rasha. So what in heaven's name is going on here? Hashem Dafka gives Hashuas Hashchina to a Rasha, which is against every single klal of Nevuah that we're familiar with. The Gemara says in the Dorim what the criteria are, quoted by the Rishonim. To be a Navi, you have to be an Anav, a Chacham, an Ashir. And the Rambam writes that a Navi, especially of this stature, is someone that he has succeeded in conquering the Yetzer Hara entirely. He has no Yetzer Hara. Nevi'im began as B'nai Nevi'im. They had to go to Nevi school. They had to go up the ladder. And going up the ladder means conquering, being Kodesh, the Yetzer Hara. So Yaakov is brought to take someone who's a Rosh of Rosha. So it's Mashra from this Rashi that the Rebbe Shalom simply decided to take a guy, an Adraba, a guy who's a Rasha, he chose, which is amazing. The very antithesis of what Nevuah is all about. That's also a kasha they ask. Why would he choose a guy who's a Rasha? At least let him choose a guy who's a bit more sympathetic and a bit more refined, and someone perhaps who could fit into the scheme of what it means to be a Navi. But I think that, again, I don't, as far as I know, I'm not familiar with Dafka, why Bilam was chosen as opposed to anyone else. But it seems to be, I think, the latter position that you took, I think, is the seems to be the more correct position as far as that matter is concerned. Okay, Ashikah, thank you very much. You're mazaking me all the time, and it's continued to hear only Besaros Tovos and Halavai, which should somehow, even this Yerida that we are presently undergoing, should hopefully be the Tzar of the Tzar Haliyah, as Daniel pointed out earlier at the very beginning. Be well.